You're listening to the ArenaFan.com podcast coming to you from the JW Marriott Hotel, the home of Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22 New Orleans.
And welcome back to Radio Row at Arena Bowl 22 in New Orleans. My guest right now is wide receiver Chris Jackson. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
Now, Chris, last year we did this, but you've got another bit of hardware now with you. You won Offensive Player of the Year, named First Team All Arena. What is that like for you?
It's definitely an honor to be named to a team like that. But it's also been a blessing to play on the team that I played on this year. Just having an offensive line that's been as great as they have, protecting for whichever quarterback was in at the time. And we've just had a great team. I've had great receivers that stepped up, and it kind of made it easier for me at times and vice versa. So it's just, you know, it's more of a team effort this time of year, you know, so to receive the award and still be playing is kind of rewarding in itself to know that, you know, we do have a great team representing the National Conference, and we're just looking forward to keep rolling with it.
Has there been any sort of discrepancy in the huddle between when Tony Graziani was under center versus when Matt D'Orazio was under center?
Absolutely not. I know that was a hard decision to be made from the coach's standpoint, and either way you looked at it, you weren't going to please you know, both guys. But when it comes down to it, whoever they go with and whoever coming in calling plays, that's who we respond to. You know, they are two different quarterbacks in a sense, and we know what we get from both of them. But the problem is we're just a successful team with either one, and we just support whoever they choose.
Now, in the grand scheme of history in the Arena Football League, you're second all-time with 991 receptions, tied with Barry Wagner. You're all set to break all sorts of different records. Has this set in for you at all?
It hasn't. It really makes me think about how old and how long I've been in this league, you know, and it's great to be named up there with, you know, the Wagners, and what Damian Harrell's doing on the other end of the spectrum is just unbelievable. For the two of us just to be paired together and kind of linked together, you know, it's just an honor to be named in those groups. And, you know, a lot of it has just been blessed with being healthy, you know, to be able to put up them numbers and just playing on great teams the last couple of years.
If there's one thing left that Chris Jackson could do in his career, what would it be?
Win that championship so I can have a ring on my finger.
Simply put. Okay, Chris, having been one of the two players on the team with any sort of Arena Bowl experience, what do you tell all the other guys in the locker room who haven't necessarily had this type of experience like you've had?
I don't think it's anything you could just say. I think it's more done by actions, and I think for me and Matt to just to continue doing what we've done in preparation and practicing, just keep as much as routine as possible. I think that's what they need to see, and that's what they need to kind of respond to. Because technically it is another game. It's another week of preparation. Those things don't change. So there's a lot of hype going on. You know, it's first-class treatment, you know, but there's a game to be played. So I don't think it's anything that we just say. I just think it's by our nature and by how we react to things and what we bring to the table as far as practice and preparation.
For a relatively young team, is it a bit intimidating to look over on the other side of the ball and see just how many different players are wearing rings on that team?
I don't think so. I mean, we all know we're all Arena fans as well, and we've known what they've done over the last couple of years is nothing short of remarkable. For them to keep the same core veteran guys and to still be in the hunt of things every time around this year is just goes to tell you, you know, what an organization that they have. But at the same time, is we've put ourselves in position to be just that same, you know, frontier type team. And what we've done is made us feel comfortable. We look across and we know that they're a good team, but, you know, in order for us to be champs, we got to beat the champs, and that's kind of how we're approaching it.
Now, what's it going to be like playing against veterans in the secondary, Cleavon Thomas and Omar Smith?
Well, we need to be smart. It's about being efficient, our offense, and, you know, not making mistakes, because that's what they can, you know, get an interception and get a fumble recovery, and that kind of turns the scheme of the game around. So we just need to be smart and put some pressure on them. You know, as great of a core that they have, you know, I think we have just as good, if not a better, receiver core to go against them. So I kind of like our game plan. I like what we're going to do. We're, you know, going to keep pressing on and continue doing what we've done to be successful in the past.
Now, you go out to San Jose earlier in the season, and you win the game 58-57, but found yourself in such a huge rut. When you're down 33-14 in a situation like that on the road, how do you overcome it?
You got to just take it one play at a time, pretty much just simplify it as quick as you can. You know, being down 19 or 21 points at halftime, we knew we had to come out and score right away. We did that. We knew eventually we had to get a stop on defense. You know, we didn't press for it, but it happened. We got that stop, and we continued to roll offensively. You just got to take it one play at a time, you know, and we did that. We didn't, you know, kind of press. We didn't stress ourselves out. We just stayed very patient and allowed the game to come to us. And I think when we were able to do that, kind of just slow down and not make the same stupid mistakes we made in the first half, we were able to get right back in the game.
Let's go back to a few weeks ago when you all took on New York. At the end of that game, you need the one play with just a few seconds left, and you know you absolutely have to get into the end zone. Larry Rackins makes the catch. Controversial whether he got in or not. What's it like sitting there waiting for the referees to make that decision, and what's the feeling when it's ruled a touchdown and the Soul move on?
Once you saw the red flag, you knew it was going to be challenged. As players, we're looking up at the scoreboard trying to catch a glimpse of the replay ourselves. You know, from a couple perspectives, it looked like there was no doubt we were going to get that touchdown. But then you knew that there was still that gray area. You just never knew what they were going to come back and signal, especially with refs, you know, in any league. So when they came over and I saw some guys prematurely celebrating, and that's as the refs came out, and that's when I kind of knew they had already given the signal over in the corner. And it was just a sigh of relief, you know, just that your season was hanging on, you know, the ballot by just that one play. And, you know, fortunately worked out in our advantage, and we were able to kind of make a run at, you know, the run to get here. But it could have been over 2 weeks ago. So it was a big play for us, and I'm glad it turned out right for us.
If there's one thing the Soul have to do to bring the Foster Trophy back to Philadelphia this weekend, what's it going to be?
I think just be as efficient as possible on offense. If we get 10 possessions, we need to try to score all 10 times and put the pressure back on San Jose. You know, they're a team that really does well after getting turnovers on defense. So we just need to be efficient, you know, and make them try to match the scoring that hopefully we can put up. And I think if our offense kind of gets into a groove, that's when we play kind of well as a unit. You know, Matt's back there being confident. Our unit is just continue to move the ball downfield time after time. So if we can get in a position, we're getting the first couple scores under our belts and kind of get comfortable, I think that's a good position for us.
Now, you come to Philadelphia as the prize free agent. And you're in a city that hasn't necessarily had the greatest of luck bringing home championships. Do you sort of have the weight of the world on you trying to bring that first championship since 1983 back to Philadelphia?
No, I don't think we have too much weight or put too much weight on our shoulders over that. We realize how long it's been since the city's had a championship. But we've had great supporters all year long, and they know that we're going to give it our all. You know, we're going to go out there and not only win for the city of Philadelphia, but all the hard work that we put in this year. So, you know, if we're able to go out there and do everything we can, you know, we're gonna end that drought. We'll be able to bring home, you know, a trophy to a city that's done nothing but support us, back us in every situation this year. So I think it'll be good not only for our organization but the city as well. So we're looking forward to hopefully doing that.
Once again, this is Adam Markowitz on Radio Row in Arena Bowl 22 in New Orleans. My guest has been Chris Jackson. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to ArenaFan.com podcasts. Stay tuned for more coverage from Radio Row at Virgin Mobile Arena Bowl 22 New Orleans.